Well, thank you. Welcome to services, everybody. Welcome to our special guests with us today. And any other guests? Well, you're all special, so just leave it at that, I guess. I'm going to talk about a particular book in the Bible today, and it's one that we don't turn to very often. In fact, if you were to flip through your Bible and just try to skim through and find it, you would likely miss it. Because I'm talking about the book of Philemon. If you'd like to turn there, like to find it, the easiest way to find it is that it's the book right before Hebrews. And I'll give you the rest of the time of my message to find the book. But when you read that book, or any of the other books, especially the shorter ones, the question comes to mind, why were these books included? Why was this particular one included? Some of them, like this one, they just don't seem to fit in. And one unique feature about this book, the letter to Philemon, is that it's the only private letter that survived of the letters that Paul wrote. Now, in this message, I'd like to review the contents of the letter and put it in context and look at it from some different perspectives to see how we can apply it to situations in our own lives. And I'll just mention that the primary sources I used for reference on this were William Barclay's commentary on Philemon and the Baker Encyclopedia of the Bible. To give you a background of the letter, it was written by Paul along with Timothy. This book, along with Timothy, were written by Paul while he was in prison in Rome, and he was written to Philemon in Colossae. I called it a private letter, but it wasn't meant for Philemon only, but also was addressed to Apphia, which we suspect might have been Philemon's wife, but we don't know, and Archippus, who may have been Philemon's son. Again, we don't know. And it was written to the church that met in their house. In addition, greetings are also sent from Epaphras, Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke. So it wasn't just intended from one person to one person. Baker's Encyclopedia mentions that Paul's purpose in mentioning these people I just mentioned, is to make Philemon realize that his response to Paul's plea will not be a private decision. Paul's making it known to Philemon that he's going to discuss this situation with others to come up with a decision on it. But it is one for which he will be accountable. Paul will be accountable for it to the community of believers that he is a part of. In the body of Christ, matters that pertain to relationships of believers among themselves are of concern to the whole community. And such matters may not be treated as private issues since they necessarily affect the well-being of the entire church. And similarly, in our own church, if a decision is made in another congregation or at headquarters that applies to one part of the body, it likely applies to all parts of the body. So first of all, let's consider the situation at this time. Consider the plight of slaves. A slave at this time was not considered a person, but property, a living tool over which the master had absolute power. If you had a slave, that slave was yours just as much as your house was yours or any of your other possessions are yours. That slave belonged to you. And this slave could be condemned to hard labor or to working in chains or punished with blows of the rod, branded on the forehead as a thief or a runaway, or could be crucified. The slave didn't have any say in it. They were deliberately held down, and a rebellious slave was promptly eliminated. You couldn't have one slave rebelling because that would pass to other slaves, so they had to contain them at that time. Now, Onesimus was a slave of Philemon's household. He had run away and had perhaps been a thief as well. If you are in the book of Philemon, this is in verses 18 and 19 where it says, but if he has wronged you, talking about Philemon, if he has wronged you or owes you anything, put that on my account. I, Paul, am writing with my own hand, I will repay, not to mention to you that you owe me even your own self besides. So Onesimus came to Rome, and he wound up with Paul, became very useful to Paul, and became his son. And he mentions that in verse 10. I appeal to you for my son, Onesimus, whom I have begotten while in my chains. Paul recognized that he could no longer keep a runaway slave, and he had to return him to his owner. So Paul wanted to keep him there, but not without Philemon's consent. He didn't want to keep him there against his will. He wrote the letter appealing to Philemon to receive Onesimus. It would be one thing to ask Philemon to receive him back as a slave, but Paul was asking him to receive Onesimus as a free man and as a beloved brother. And how hard must that have been for the owner to have the slave come back, not as a slave, but as a free man. And Paul also said that he would reimburse Philemon if he had been wronged or owed anything. It was Paul who said that he would reimburse Philemon. Paul could have commanded this, but he was asking it as a friend. Verses 18 and 19 is where he makes this promise to repay, where he says, but if he has wronged you or owes anything, put that on my account. I, Paul, am writing with my own hand. I will repay, not to mention to you that you owe me even your own self besides. Now let's consider this letter from three points of view. Each covers a situation we will all face at one time or another, to one degree or another in our own lives. Let's first of all look at Paul's situation. Paul was in prison in Rome. And when he writes this in verse 10, I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten while in my chains, who once was unprofitable to you, but now is profitable to you and me. And just as a note, the name Onesimus itself in Hebrew means profitable or useful. So it's a very apt name as far as the situation turned out. This young man had come to Paul. He had converted to Christianity and ministered to him. Did Paul know he was a runaway slave? We don't know. Maybe not at first. Onesimus may have sought him out as a friend of Philemon's or as a place of refuge, or this may have been revealed to Paul only later. We just don't know. We don't know what Paul knew and when about it. But Paul realized that now he had to give up someone he loved, someone who was very useful to him. And Paul had to make it a voluntary decision. He could not command it. He didn't know what the fate of Onesimus would be, but he knew there was considerable risk in sending him back to Philemon. All he could do was plea with Philemon for Onesimus. Put yourself in Paul's place. What would you do if you were Paul? Would you handle it the same way? Would you send your beloved friend back, perhaps to imprisonment or other punishment, possibly even to death? And that's the decisions he had to make. So that's Paul's view of the situation. How about Philemon himself? Philemon owned Onesimus. Onesimus had been his slave. This was his property. He was faced with the loss of a slave who had possibly stolen from him or wronged him in other ways. He needed to set an example for the others. At the time Onesimus ran away, Philemon would have been furious and seeking revenge. By this time, his other slaves may have been thinking of running away too, since Onesimus seemed to have succeeded. An unusual situation for him, and a precarious one, depending on how he handled it. Now, Philemon may have gotten over the initial reaction, but his emotions probably would have returned when he saw Onesimus again. That would have brought it to life, made it real. His probable first instinct would have been punishment. This was a runaway slave. So his first thought was possibly punishment, even death. But then he was given this letter from Paul, asking not only for Philemon to receive a slave, but to receive him not as a slave like he had once been, but a brother. Receive your former slave as your brother. Now, Paul could have commanded him to do so, but he was appealing to him as a friend. What would you do if you were Philemon in Philemon's situation? Could you receive Onesimus, this runaway slave, as a brother and forgive him? The third situation is Onesimus. He was a slave. He had committed two of the worst crimes a slave could commit. He had been a thief and he had run away. But he converted to Christianity and saw a different life under Paul. And being with Paul had given him a sense of purpose and dignity and value. He was indeed useful to Paul. And now, as a Christian, he knew he had to return to Philemon. He knew he had to face punishment. He apparently went willingly and obediently, but he would have been very apprehensive as he approached Philemon. He didn't know what was going to happen to him. What would you do if you were Onesimus or in that situation? Could you face the punishment you deserved and might receive? Would you dare ask your former master for forgiveness? Well, what happened? It would be nice if the Bible went on to say, or this letter went on to say, and then this and this and this happened. But the Bible doesn't tell us the results. We don't know. We would like to think that Philemon forgave Onesimus, that he let him return to Paul as a free man. And some evidence indicates that this may have happened. And what is some of that evidence? First of all, the letter remains. We still have this letter, Book of Philemon. If Philemon had not forgiven Onesimus, he may have suppressed or destroyed the letter from Paul. He wouldn't have wanted to be seen in a negative light. About 50 years later, when the letters of Paul were being assembled for inclusion in Scripture, it's almost certain that they were collected at Ephesus. And it may be that the bishop of Ephesus insisted that this short letter be included, because according to Ignatius, who was a great martyr of the time, the bishop of Ephesus in question was Bishop Onesimus. We don't know if that was the same man or not. It's pure speculation that this was the same man, but it could have been. And if so, the letter would have been included as an expression of gratitude. The Baker Encyclopedia of the Bible has this to say about this. They say, an intriguing postscript has been added to this story by the discovery of the repeated references to an elderly bishop named Onesimus, who led the church at Ephesus in the early part of the second century, according to Ignatius' letter to the Ephesians. The identification of the bishop with Philemon's slave is suggested by the use of Ignatius' letter of Paul's play on words with the name of Onesimus in verses 11 and 20, because Onesimus means useful or beneficial. And should this be the case, it is conceivable that the former slave was the individual who collected the Pauline letters that were eventually integrated into the New Testament canon, including the letter to Philemon. And that's all, that paragraph is quoted from the Baker Encyclopedia of the Bible. So what's the conclusion about this message? Why was this book included? Well, it shows a personal side of Paul. It shows a side of life at the time, especially that of a slave. And the book presents us with universal situations. In some ways, each of us are like Paul, like Philemon, and like Onesimus. And we may, in our lives, face situations that are similar to theirs. Like Paul, we may be called upon to make a difficult decision in which we risk losing something or someone dear to us. Like Philemon, we may be asked to forgive, to accept as an equal someone who has wronged us. And like Onesimus, we may need to face the consequences of our actions with potentially severe results. So I'll conclude this by leaving you with a question. If we are faced with any of these situations, what will we do?